Before we talk about how Rhode Island built the nation's first offshore wind farm, let's talk about what these machines look like.
They kind of look like something you see in Star Wars or something like that. They're massive structures, very futuristic looking.
They look very majestic. I call them gentle giants. I've seen them in Denmark in operation.
Diane Lindstedt and Jim Wilkins from the Louisiana Sea Grant Program say they think it's very cool to finally see offshore wind turbines in the United States. They're two of about nearly 140 visitors from different Sea Grant programs across the country who are on this tour looking to learn from the Ocean State.
These towers are about 600 feet to the tip of the rotor.
That's how tall these turbines are from top to bottom. When a blade aligns vertically to the rest of the tower, explains Grover Fugate, executive director of the Rhode Island Coastal Resources Management Council, the foundations are sitting in 90 feet of water. Each blade stretches out about 240 feet.
Even being close to them until you see a human on board, it's a little hard to appreciate the scale of these structures until you can get something that you can sort of figure out what the relative scale is.
And he's right. A crew member pokes out from somewhere on the tower to wave at people on this ferry. He looks like a tiny speck. People marvel at these giant windmills. But the scale of these turbines isn't the only difficulty that offshore wind projects face. Projects proposed long before this one failed because there were too many unresolved conflicts between interest groups. Fugate says this has been different.
If you do it right and you bring in the stakeholders and you try to accommodate the interests, that's the difference, whether you're going to end up in litigation or building.
And that's the role the Rhode Island Sea Grant, located at the University of Rhode Island, played in bringing stakeholders together. Jen McCann directs the program.
You know, what is the impact, what is the effect that these wind turbines are going to have on the people of Rhode Island? So our job was to respond to those questions and to bring the experts to the people so that they could better understand with us what those potential effects were.
Rhode Island navigated those conflicts through the state's special plan for how to manage human activities at sea. This group of U.S. visitors weren't the only people learning about it. Rhode Island's ocean plan has become a case study for the European Union, which sent delegates to the Ocean State recently. That ocean plan will guide Deepwater Wind's second project in federal waters, known as Deepwater One. It's a project slated to eventually have 200 turbines to power southern New England and eastern Long Island. I'm Bar Espinosa, Rhode Island Public Radio.